Welcome to Dreamful Podcast, bedtime stories for slumber. There are no new supporters this week. However, I would like to take this time to thank everyone who has supported the show over the years. And this goes well beyond the monetary paid subscriptions. This is the people who tap the Texas show link in the show notes to send me a message or send a story suggestion, which helps so much with my episode planning. And it's the people who I see writing each other in the comments on Spotify, which I try to read, but it's a little difficult to keep up with that. And the people who engage on Instagram or write a lovely review. I just really appreciate all of you, and your support has made it so I am continuously motivated to keep this podcast going. So I just want to take a moment to thank everyone, even you, dear listener. You have really made this podcast such a wonderful project. Of course, if you'd like to subscribe to receive bonus episodes and a shout out on the episode, you can visit dreamfulstories.com, and on the support page, find a link to become a Buzzsprout supporter or subscribe via Supercast if you listen on Spotify. You can also support the show with a rating and review, or even better, share the podcast with a loved one. This is the fourth episode in the Myths of Egypt series, where we meet the goddess who gathered what was scattered, who raised the lost, and who held the world together with whispered spells. This is the story of Isis, magician of the marsh. So, snuggle up in your blankets and have sweet dreams. In every tale of grief and love, of what was broken and then remade, there is a thread that leads back to Isis. To the Egyptians, she was more than a goddess. She was magic made flesh, a mother whose protection never faltered, a mourner whose grief shaped the rhythms of the earth. Her name was carried in healing spells, carved into temple walls, whispered over the sick and the dying. She crossed deserts and seas in search of what was lost. She defied death to create life. Before Egypt had kings or pyramids, before the Nile had a name, there was Isis. She was born from the union of Nut, the sky, and Geb, the earth, a daughter of elemental force and silent power. Her siblings were gods of light and darkness. Osiris would become king of the fertile black land. Set, who ruled the wild red desert. And Nephthys, the shadow who stood between them. Isis was radiant and sharp, a goddess of keen perception, sacred knowledge, and watchful devotion. Her name was written with the hieroglyph of a throne, and she came to embody that symbol, the foundation upon which power and lineage rested. In the earliest myths, she was not the loudest, nor the most feared, but she was the one gods turned to when all else failed. She would become wife to Osiris and their union would bind together rule, renewal, and resurrection, not just as lovers, but as two halves of Egypt's soul, life and death, growth and decay, order and transformation. Isis loved Osiris, not only as husband, but as the one who ruled beside her in harmony. Under their reign, Egypt flourished. Crops rose from the soil. Justice was balanced with mercy, and the rhythms of life pulsed in harmony with the Nile. But harmony breeds envy. Set, their brother, burned with resentment. He was lord of storms and chaos, and he could not bear to see the throne in Osiris's hands. One night, through cunning and cruelty, Set trapped Osiris in a box of polished cedar, sealed it shut with lead, and cast it into the Nile. The coffin drifted north, past riverbanks and reeds, until it vanished beyond Egypt's border. When Isis learned what had been done, her heart hardened to resolve. She donned mourning garments, left the palace and the gods, and walked alone into the world. Her footsteps crossed deserts and seas, searching every shore and shadow. At last, in the land of Byblos, she found Osiris, his coffin encased in the trunk of a tamarisk tree, now part of a foreign king's pillar. She brought him home to Egypt, and mourning made motion. But Set, always watching, found the body again. In a rage, he tore Osiris into pieces, scattering them across the two lands, so that no life could ever be drawn from death. Isis did not weep. She searched again. Walking the banks of the Nile, whispering his name into the waters, following the scent of cedar and his memory. With the help of her sister Nephthys and the jackal-headed Anubis, she found and gathered each fragment, bone by bone. They washed him in sacred oils, wrapped him in linen embroidered with spells, and anointed his brow with signs only gods could read. And when the body was whole again, Isis spoke the ancient words. Words born before time passed through her lips like wind through reeds. The linen stirred. A flicker of light passed across his face. Osiris lived again in the deep, sacred realm of the Duat, the land of the dead, where he would now reign as king. And from that moment of union, brief and eternal, a child was conceived. A son, destined to challenge Set, to restore what had been taken. But for now, Isis fled into the marshes, her womb full of a future the world was not yet ready to see. With Osiris crowned in the realm beyond, Isis disappeared into the edges of the world, into the marshes, the wild, tangled waters of the Nile Delta, where reeds whispered secrets and crocodiles slid silently beneath the surface. There, among the sedge and shadow, Isis gave birth to her son, Horus, the falcon child, the last hope of a broken throne. She kept him hidden from Set, whose wrath had not faded, for Set knew that if the child lived, the balance of power would tip again. So Isis raised Horus in silence. She nursed him in secret, shielded his body with her wings, and sang spells into the air around them to bend illness and bite away from his skin. 7 scorpions walked with her, spirits of protection, sacred guardians born of the Earth's darker forces. They followed in silence, their tails curled, their stingers ready, forming a living circle around the goddess and her son. And though they belonged to venom and dusk, they bowed to her command. In this exile, Isis became more than a queen. She became a mother who carried the weight of 2 worlds, the memory of a lost love, and the future of a justice still unborn. Horus was often ill, weakened by the poison of snakes, or by the fevered dreams that haunt children marked by fate. But Isis drew his sickness out with spells that rose from her breath. When his tiny chest stilled, she called upon every name she knew, every secret Ra had whispered, every word that once stirred Osiris from death. And Horus breathed again, not because he was invincible, but because Isis would not allow him to fall. She wove his life from memory, magic, and will. A falcon cradled in reeds, destined to rise. As Horus grew stronger, Isis stepped from the marsh and into the realm of gods. She had walked the lands of grief and birth. She had raised the dead, nurtured the living, and guarded the balance between the two. And now, Isis turned that wisdom toward the heavens. In one tale, she approached Ra himself, ancient and radiant, but weary with time. She watched as his lips cracked with age. His breath labored beneath the weight of eons. He ruled all, but still kept one secret. His true name. The name that held his essence. And Isis, wise beyond reckoning, knew that names held power. She formed a serpent from Ra's own saliva, mixed with dust, and left in the path of the sun. When Ra passed, the serpent struck. His body twisted with agony, for no god could heal what was made from himself. Isis appeared, calm and unwavering. She offered to save him, but only if he surrendered his true name. And under the weight of pain, Ra whispered it into her ear, Isis did not steal his power. She used it to strengthen her son, to cloak Horus in divine right, to crown him with legitimacy that even Set could not deny. For when Horus finally stood before the gods, demanding the throne stolen from his father, it was Isis who testified for him. She exposed Set's schemes. She healed Horus's wounds. His eye, gouged in their battles, torn in celestial struggle, was made whole again through her words. And when the gods faltered, when politics tangled truth and verdict, Isis stood alone, holding up her son with irrefutable purpose. Horus would inherit the throne, not only because he was born of Osiris, but because he was raised by Isis. And so, her magic endured. In tombs carved deep beneath the earth, in temples crowned with sunlit stone, Isis is there, arms outstretched, wings unfurled. Her image guards the coffins of pharaohs, cradled the hearts of the newly dead, and whispered protection over the breathless. She was the goddess of kings, the one mothers prayed to during childbirth, and the one whose name was etched into healing charms, passed hand to hand through the villages of the Nile. In every spell that sought to mend, in every rite that called for balance, her voice echoed. Even as dynasties shifted, and gods rose and faded from favor, Isis endured, because she had walked through loss and returned with light. She was the thread between earth and the afterlife, between cradle and coffin. And her story, grief-laced, resolute, and tender, became a pattern etched deep into the heart of Egyptian belief, because it promised that the broken could be gathered, that what falls apart might still be made whole. Isis shows us that power does not always come from might, but from endurance, from searching when the trail has gone cold, from speaking names aloud when others forget. She was a mourner who became a healer, the mother who became a maker of kings, the widow who wove resurrection from silence. Her legacy is of love that walks through ruin and does not turn away. In her story, we remember that restoration is possible, even when nothing remains but dust and memory. In every tale of grief and love, of what was broken and then remade, there is a thread that leads back to Isis. To the Egyptians, she was more than a goddess. She was magic, made flesh, a mother whose protection never faltered, a mourner whose grief shaped the rhythms of the earth. Her name was carried in healing spells, carved into temple walls, whispered over the sick and the dying. She crossed deserts and seas in search of what was lost. She defied death to create life. Before Egypt had kings or pyramids, before the Nile had a name, there was Isis. She was born from the union of Nut, the sky, and Geb, the earth, a daughter of elemental force and silent power. Her siblings were gods of light and darkness. Osiris would become king of the fertile black land. Set, who ruled the wild red desert. And Nephthys, the shadow who stood between them. Isis was radiant and sharp, a goddess of keen perception, sacred knowledge, and watchful devotion. Her name was written with the hieroglyph of a throne, and she came to embody that symbol, the foundation upon which power and lineage rested. In the earliest myths, she was not the loudest, nor the most feared, but she was the one gods turned to when all else failed. She would become wife to Osiris, and their union would bind together rule, renewal, and resurrection, not just as lovers, but as two halves of Egypt's soul, life and death, growth and decay, order and transformation. Isis loved Osiris, not only as husband, but as the one who ruled beside her in harmony. Under their reign, Egypt flourished. Crops rose from the soil. Justice was balanced with mercy, and the rhythms of life pulsed in harmony with the Nile. But harmony breeds envy. Set, their brother, burned with resentment. He was lord of storms and chaos, and he could not bear to see the throne in Osiris's hands. One night, through cunning and cruelty, Set trapped Osiris in a box of polished cedar, sealed it shut with lead, and cast it into the Nile. The coffin drifted north, past riverbanks and reeds, until it vanished beyond Egypt's border. When Isis learned what had been done, her heart hardened to resolve. She donned mourning garments, left the palace and the gods, and walked alone into the world. Her footsteps crossed deserts and seas, searching every shore and shadow. At last, in the land of Byblos, she found Osiris, his coffin encased in the trunk of a tamarisk tree, now part of a foreign king's pillar. She brought him home to Egypt, and mourning made motion. But Set, always watching, found the body again. In a rage, he tore Osiris into pieces, scattering them across the two lands, so that no life could ever be drawn from death. Isis did not weep. She searched again. Walking the banks of the Nile, whispering his name into the waters, following the scent of cedar and his memory. With the help of her sister Nephthys and the jackal-headed Anubis, she found and gathered each fragment, bone by bone. They washed him in sacred oils, wrapped him in linen embroidered with spells, and anointed his brow with signs only gods could read. And when the body was whole again, Isis spoke the ancient words. Words born before time passed through her lips like wind through reeds. The linen stirred. A flicker of light passed across his face. Osiris lived again in the deep, sacred realm of the Duat, the land of the dead, where he would now reign as king. And from that moment of union, brief and eternal, a child was conceived. A son, destined to challenge Set, to restore what had been taken. But for now, Isis fled into the marshes, her womb full of a future the world was not yet ready to see. With Osiris crowned in the realm beyond, Isis disappeared into the edges of the world, into the marshes, the wild, tangled waters of the Nile Delta, where reeds whispered secrets and crocodiles slid silently beneath the surface. There, among the sedge and shadow, Isis gave birth to her son, Horus, the falcon child, the last hope of a broken throne. She kept him hidden from Set, whose wrath had not faded. For Set knew that if the child lived, the balance of power would tip again. So Isis raised Horus in silence. She nursed him in secret, shielded his body with her wings, and sang spells into the air around them to bend illness and bite away from his skin. 7 scorpions walked with her, spirits of protection, sacred guardians born of the earth's darker forces. They followed in silence, their tails curled, their stingers ready, forming a living circle around the goddess and her son. And though they belonged to venom and dusk, they bowed to her command. In this exile, Isis became more than a queen. She became a mother who carried the weight of 2 worlds, the memory of a lost love, and the future of a justice still unborn. Horus was often ill, weakened by the poison of snakes, or by the fevered dreams that haunt children marked by fate. But Isis drew his sickness out with spells that rose from her breath. When his tiny chest stilled, she called upon every name she knew, every secret Ra had whispered, every word that once stirred Osiris from death. And Horus breathed again, not because he was invincible, but because Isis would not allow him to fall. She wove his life from memory magic, and will. A falcon cradled in reeds, destined to rise. As Horus grew stronger, Isis stepped from the marsh and into the realm of gods. She had walked the lands of grief and birth. She had raised the dead, nurtured the living, and guarded the balance between the two. And now, Isis turned that wisdom toward the heavens. In one tale, she approached Ra himself, ancient and radiant, but weary with time. She watched as his lips cracked with age. His breath labored beneath the weight of eons. He ruled all, but still kept one secret. His true name. The name that held his essence. And Isis, wise beyond reckoning, knew that names held power. She formed a serpent from Ra's own saliva, mixed with dust, and left in the path of the sun. When Ra passed, the serpent struck. His body twisted with agony, for no god could heal what was made from himself. Isis appeared, calm and unwavering. She offered to save him, but only if he surrendered his true name. And under the weight of pain, Ra whispered it into her ear. Isis did not steal his power. She used it to strengthen her son, to cloak Horus in divine right, to crown him with legitimacy that even Set could not deny. For when Horus finally stood before the gods, demanding the throne stolen from his father, it was Isis who testified for him. She exposed Set's schemes. She healed Horus's wounds. His eye, gouged in their battles, torn in celestial struggle, was made whole again through her words. And when the gods faltered, when politics tangled truth and verdict, Isis stood alone, holding up her son with irrefutable purpose. Horus would inherit the throne. Not only because he was born of Osiris, but because he was raised by Isis. And so, her magic endured. In tombs carved deep beneath the earth, in temples crowned with sunlit stone, Isis is there, arms outstretched, wings unfurled. Her image guards the coffins of pharaohs, cradled the hearts of the newly dead, and whispered protection over the breathless. She was the goddess of kings, the one mothers prayed to during childbirth, and the one whose name was etched into healing charms, passed hand to hand through the villages of the Nile. In every spell that sought to mend, in every rite that called for balance, her voice echoed. Even as dynasties shifted, and gods rose and faded from favor, Isis endured, because she had walked through loss, and returned with light. She was a thread between earth and the afterlife, between cradle and coffin. And her story, grief-laced, resolute, and tender, became a pattern etched deep into the heart of Egyptian belief, because it promised that the broken could be gathered, that what falls apart might still be made whole. Isis shows us that power does not always come from might, but from endurance, from searching when the trail has gone cold, from speaking names aloud when others forget. She was a mourner who became a healer, the mother who became a maker of kings, the widow who wove resurrection from silence. Her legacy is of love that walks through ruin and does not turn away. In her story, we remember that restoration is possible, even when nothing remains but dust and memory.